Hey, it's Lisa Carlin from Attacking Third to tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It's equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend. The Hyundai Santa Fe features available all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, plus available dual wireless charging pads, ensuring that you can take on any adventure. It's ski season, and with the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, I can easily load the car with all my gear plus my friends in the third row and make it right to the base of the slopes with all-wheel drive. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
New CBS Monday.
NCIS. Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday starting at 9, 8 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Attacking Third, a CBS Sports Soccer podcast. I'm Sandra Herrera, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports. Joined today, as always, by my colleague and co-host, Lisa Roman, NWSL analyst and broadcaster for CBS Sports. On today's episode, we've got a special interview following the 2023 NWSL draft. Be sure to subscribe to us on YouTube so that you never miss out on our episodes or whenever we go live with our exclusive interviews. Today, we welcome to the show the number one draft pick, newest member of Angel City FC. Two caps with the United States Women's National Team so far. 18-year-old, youngest draft pick in NWSL history. Look, already so many accolades. Alyssa Thompson, welcome to the show.
Thank you guys for having me. Thank you.
Yeah, we're so thrilled to have you join us here on the show. Your first time with Attacking Third, so we're excited to chat with you a little bit. We're about a week removed almost since the NWSL draft, and we got to start there, of course, with you. So yeah, you look to have been at home during the draft, surrounded by tons of loved ones, family, friends, lots of smiling people. Tell us a little bit about draft day. Where were you? Who was with you? And what was that overall experience like for you during the event?
Yeah, so, well, I'll just start from when I woke up, because I woke up and then got ready for school. And then I went to school for a little bit, had a class, and then left from there and started like my whole getting ready process. I was with my sister, which was nice. So we were just together at school and then left to go to the Nike LA headquarters, which was cool. And then, yeah, that whole day I was not at school. I wasn't really thinking about it because I had a lot of work to do. But when I got there, I was starting to get a little bit nervous, like sweating a little bit. But I was with my sister Giselle, which was nice, and my little sister Zoe, who like distracts me a lot, and she's just like a ball of bright like energy, so it really helped to just like take my mind off of it. And then yeah, I was really nervous the whole day, and then leading up to the draft, just sitting on the couch like waiting for my name to get called was very scary too. But I was lucky to be surrounded like by my friends and my family, who have been with me throughout my whole journey. So it was super cool.
Yeah, I wanted to just follow up on that, because despite like everything leading up to draft day, whether they're random headlines or not, that type of event can absolutely play on one's nerves, right? No matter where you're potentially going to land within the draft order. So was there anything in particular? You mentioned like your sister sort of being like a calming presence. So was there anything else that you sort of like were reaching for or looking to like help you sort of stay calm? Is it like a particular go-to snack or a particular go-to beverage that you sort of go to sort of help ease you out during a day like that?
Honestly, like I didn't really eat that much because the whole day I was like running around and like doing just like a bunch of things before, like just getting ready and stuff and greeting people that were coming. So I didn't really eat that much. So I don't think I helped myself getting unnervous. I was just like, I embrace the nerves, I guess.
Yeah, don't worry. We won't tell Angel City that you didn't even eat on draft day. They're going to have you on like a nutrition schedule ready to go. I love that you started your day with us explaining it to us, saying that you went to school, you had a class. I want to know about that day at school and also Friday. The draft was Thursday night. Did you go to school on Friday, the next day after the draft?
Yeah, I had an in-class essay in the morning. So we have late start on that day. So we started at 10 o'clock, but I had to get there early to take the in-class that I missed on Thursday. So I went there and took my in-class essay, and my teacher just like welcomed me. It was like, congratulations and stuff like that. And then I took my in-class, and then school was like, people were coming up to me and congratulating me and stuff like that, which was really cool. And it, a bunch of my friends were just like saying how cool it was that I was draft pick, and just like they knew I play soccer and stuff, and like that I go places a lot for it. So, but they were just all super proud of me, I think, which was really nice too.
That's so special. I mean, yeah, when you're in high school, as you are, and you're constantly traveling for tournaments and meetings and trainings all over the place, your friends kind of get to know like, oh, you can't hang out because you're always playing soccer. I get it. I was there all the time. So yeah. For you, even as the youngest draft pick and still in high school, you're have very different experience than other draft picks this year that are maybe in college or out of college already and finish their semester. How do you kind of compartmentalize like going to school the morning after you're the number one overall draft and having to write an essay? Is there any part of you that's like, come on, mom and dad, can I stay home?
I feel like I kind of wanted to go to school because I don't know. I feel I've always kind of had this balance in my life with soccer and whatever else, like hanging out with friends or going to school. It's kind of just like part of my routine, just balancing soccer and something else. I think it kind of helps take my mind off of just the soccer portion, 'cause I'm like always doing that like day in, day out. So I feel like just that little, like it's kind of like just the out that I have for just being myself and like outside of soccer and stuff.
Nice. I mean, we're chatting about it, you know, you being the youngest player ever drafted in NWSL history. And there were some leading into the draft, there were some new rules and regulations that were dropped ahead of this particular version of the draft. Players who are under 18 can, you know, declare themselves eligible for the draft and enter the draft selection process. So for you, when you were sort of looking at this, you know, this build up to this moment, whether it was just the 2022 that you're coming off of, what were some of the factors that maybe helped you make the decision to enter the draft now at this point in your career?
Yeah. Well, just a big thing for me was also getting my education while being a pro. So there were just a lot of talks about if my education would be like valued as well, like while I was playing soccer. And, yeah, and making that like now known and stuff like that was nice. Just like knowing that I had that other piece outside of soccer was nice. And then also just like the big part was like being able to get better on and off the field, just as a person and playing and maturing in this environment, which I wouldn't be able to do like anywhere else, because it's just like a whole different thing. I have to grow up like kind of at 18. So the biggest factor was the education piece though, like knowing that I'd still be able to get an education while playing soccer. That was a big factor for me and my family.
Well, that's good that you were able to get some clarity on that before you were, mm-hmm. you know, make that decision to register. So what was that like? Was it finally like, okay, like the deadline is this day, I got to make sure that I register by this day? Walk us through actually registering for the draft.
Yeah, well, I think I registered like the last day that I could or something, but
yeah, we know we were refreshing. We wanted to see your name. I'm going to be honest here. No, full transparency on Attacking Third.
Yeah, I don't like me and my family were still like, it was a very tough decision for me, choosing between going to Stanford and going pro. So I I don't know, it came down to like the last minute where I'm just like, okay, I'm going to do this and I'm going to go all in with this and this is my decision. And then once I made that decision, my dad was like, okay, we need to register for the draft. And then I was like, okay. But it all went really quickly and it was super easy. So, yeah.
So after you registered, of course, the cutting it close to the deadline, but draft day comes and you get chosen number one overall by Angel City. And Alyssa, you're from LA. You currently live in LA and now you get to stay in LA with Angel City. How important was it for you to stay local and stay in California, maybe near your family?
Yeah, it was super important to me. Being with my family is just one of the best things for me, and being next with my sisters, they're just like, they've been the best and they've helped me get to where I am. And my whole family has sacrificed so much for me, my whole soccer career. So being able for them to be here and being able to watch my games all the time and just showing their support there is like amazing to me. And also being able to be close to school and still going, I'm at school right now. Like, I have a class later. So just being able to like do this so that I wouldn't be able to do anywhere else, and being able to like go to prom, do all my senior activities, like stuff like that, makes me feel really connected and like like a high school student still, which is super nice. And joining Angel City is just an amazing club, and they're growing so much as a organization. Just everything they stand for outside of soccer is just, they're such an amazing club, and their fan base is so amazing. Like, I went to one of the games and it was the loudest game that I've ever been to for a women's soccer game. Like, I was shocked, honestly. I was like, wow, this is the coolest thing ever. Like, I've never seen something like this for a woman's game, and just seeing all the support they had was super cool.
I love that you're talking about going to an Angel City game, and we're going to ask you about that for sure. But I want to take a step back, because you've now talked about Giselle, your sister, Zoe, your little sister. You've played soccer with Giselle a lot, and you're clearly very close to your family. Also, thanks for doing this while you're at school. We really appreciate that. But what was the reaction from your sisters, maybe, and specifically your little sister, Zoe, in the decision that you would be staying locally and you get to play professionally? What was their response to that?
My little sister was just super excited. She loves soccer. She's also a soccer player. So just me being able to be here and like, she can go with her teammates to watch our games and stuff like that, I think she's really proud of me. And just like, it's like cool to have a cool older sister. Yeah. So that was, cool to see. And Giselle, she was really excited for me, and she was happy that I got to stay and like have the best of both worlds for myself. Like, that would be something that like she would want if she was in my position. So, yeah, she was just really excited that I got to stay home. I think she was a little upset that she didn't get her own room, because when I would leave for college, that she would get her own room. But, yeah, she was mostly happy, I think.
I love that. I love that so much. Be careful when you start, maybe she might try to inch in on their squatters' rights. Angel City, you know, they really made a statement last year during their inaugural season in NWSL. You know, Lisa's from Philly, I'm from Chicago, and even we managed to get out to a couple games last season, and they were very, very memorable. So for you, was it just like one game, or was it like a handful of games that you were able to attend at the bank last year? And you know, prior to there being in a pro NWSL team in California, did you attend any other games at the bank at all?
The game that I went to was my first game, and that was the only game I went to. It was super hard to get tickets for the games. Like, I got that ticket like from one of my like family friends that had extra tickets. So like, I wasn't even like really planning to go. So I was like super happy that I was able to get a ticket. But yeah, that was the only game that I went to, but I wanted to go back to more after that. I don't remember, like, I went later in the season, but I don't think they had another home game or something like that, but I definitely would have gone to more games. Yeah.
Well, you're going to be at a lot of them now.
you'll be at a lot of them now. And hopefully it'll be a little easier to get tickets this time around.
Yeah, hopefully.
Let's talk a little bit about the soccer side of things, because at Attacking Third, we do that. We get into the nitty gritty of what's happening on the pitch. And for you, most recently, you've been training with a boys team, playing with them, playing against them, I think since about 2020. Of course, there's the physicality of that, playing against boys that are maybe bigger, stronger, faster than you, a little bit older. And that's different and allows you to adapt your game to be a little bit more technical because you can't match the physicality. But what is one thing that you learned about yourself or your playing style since you started to train with boys full time?
Yeah, I think that I've learned like beating people just off of like a huge touch or a big like touch and run type of movement like doesn't work all the time. Obviously, like the boys will just get in front of you and push you off the ball or get there before you. So I think definitely like taking on defenders, 1v1s, using more skill and then making that big touch or like change of pace, stuff like that. That's really helped me in my game.
Nice. You closed out your 2022 with a ton of milestones. I tossed some of them up at the top of the episode, but accomplishing these things at such a young age, whether it was, you know, an appearance in U20 World Cup or earning your first caps with the senior women's national team, you know, just sort of maybe focusing in on those two areas. What were maybe some of the differences you experienced going from your time with the youth team to the senior team?
Yeah, for sure. I think on the youth teams, like, I think that really prepared me for what the national team would be like. It helped me get to the steps to be where I was to be able to get called up to the full national team. But I was really not expecting when I got there, I thought I knew what would happen there, but it's totally different from like anything I've ever experienced before. It was really like a pro environment. They're all treated like so amazing. They get just like the best of everything because obviously they're the best players in the world, and just being able to train with the best like players in the world for weeks on end was really eye-opening for me, and I just showed me like what I really needed to work on or things that I like would take me to the next level, and learning from those players was really amazing. And just being able to be with them was a dream come true, really, because I look up to all of those players and they're just really amazing people too, like not just soccer players, like they were all super welcoming and just really helpful and like getting me in the swing of things, especially like the younger players, just making sure that like they've been in my position before. So they knew like coming into their camp the first time, like Ashley Sanchez really helped me a lot. Emily Fox and Sophia Smith, Naomi Girma, they were just super helpful. Even like Sophia Huerta, she was just amazing and like super comforting to me. So yeah.
So you said, I mean, playing alongside these players, they're legendary, and I'm sure you grew up watching them. You just name dropped a couple that helped you, but were there any players on the senior national team? Don't worry, we won't tell them. That you were kind of like, wow, I get to play with you. Or like, was there any bit of that like wow or shock factor? Because some of these players you watched growing up as a little kid.
Yeah, Megan Rapinoe, obviously she's just like a legend and icon in her own like sense, but I think like Lindsay Horan, just she's an amazing person too, and she was very helpful, and it was super cool to meet her. Rose Lavelle, also just amazing person to see. Alex Morgan, of course, like she was just like, wow, I can't believe I'm playing with her right now. Those are the people that like are a part of like kind of who I've looked up to.
As you take this next step in your career, and you've had different experiences with the U20 World Cup and playing on the senior national team, competing with boys, and now that you can see your future a little bit with Angel City, I'm sure there's going to be Angel City fans that listen to this. How would you describe your game and what you can bring to Angel City as a club on the pitch?
Yeah, I think I'm a pretty speedy player. I could beat players one-on-one with through balls from the midfield. I like to go down the line and cross it into the forward, or even like meet them 1v1 over on the sideline and then take my own chance. I love to score goals, so hopefully I score a lot for Angel City. Yeah, I feel like I'm just like, I love to attack too. So
I love that. Let's
that's what you want in your attacker, right? So it's great to hear that.
Yeah, give her the ball. let's close it out with a little bit of a funnier. Anytime we have a player interview, we try to just sort of close it out with a more fun question, but maybe it's a little reflective and a fun question combined in the two, because we heard you talk about players that, you know, you're playing alongside with now that you watched growing up, idolizing. And so now we're sort of entering this really unique phase, this next phase of NWSL, where there will be young players such as yourself entering, finding themselves coming into the league, but having had a league to watch growing up as they take that next step into their professional career. So what's it like sort of taking your step, sort of being one of those next gen players? And I got a follow up for you when you answer that.
I think it's really cool that I get to be part of like this, the next generation, players that are stepping into the NWSL. I think we like have a lot to bring too, and, like we're all ready to play, and, yeah, I'm just excited to see like how it is, how it's really run, like what, I have no idea. I really have no idea what anything is going to be like. So I'm super excited just get to be able to experience it being in the pro environment.
All right. So you mentioned Megan Rapinoe, you mentioned Alex Morgan. Those were big names. I heard you around draft circle saying that you're really amped to get a chance to play alongside Kristen Press and Angel City. But as someone who's coming into this league, having watched so much NWSL kind of growing up, what's a player that you're really excited to get a chance to go up against in the opposition side of things in this league?
Go up against, yikes. I don't know. I feel like I don't really, like, what do you mean by go up against?
Well, iron sharpens iron, right?
Yeah.
So like, let's imagine that you're let's imagine you're along that front line. Is there a particular keeper or a defender that you're looking forward to maybe some individual battles on the pitch?
Oh, wow. I don't know.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Think on it. Think on
I
it.
Will,
I have you back. We're going to have you back at 3, and I'm going to ask you that follow up one more time. Okay.
Okay, I will.
All right. This was awesome, Melissa. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
On A3. We appreciate the time. You're literally joining us from school. So we appreciate that for sure. Thank you to everyone listening. We always love to give the listeners a shout out on the show. Congrats on taking this next step in your professional career with NWSL and Angel City. Alyssa Thomas, download, follow, and listen to Attacking Third anywhere you get your podcast. You can watch us too. Subscribe to us on YouTube to get alerts for whenever we go live. YouTube.com/Attacking Third. For Sandra Herrera, Lisa Roman, and Alyssa Thompson, this was Attacking Third.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network, covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top 5 leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.